Good evening and welcome to Noir on the Radio. I'm Greg Barnes. Thanks for joining us for the show tonight. Up front tonight, I just want to take a minute to say, as I think everyone knows now, we lost a great member of the Noir community today. Author William E. Wallace passed this afternoon after, you know, what was a long and courageous fight with cancer. William, he always kept it real. He was a positive inspiration. He faced his illness head on. He kept working as a writer, spent time with his family and friends, and I knew William as a respected author, a blogger, a reviewer, as a guest on this show back in August of last year. But most of all, he was a friend to chat with online. He's a good one, and he's going to be much missed. So I just want to take a second to celebrate his life and his work, mourn our loss, and just offer sincere condolences to his family and friends. And for anyone who hasn't checked out his books, you should. His legacy will definitely live on. And now we've got a great show lined up for tonight. Joining me for this episode is crime thriller author Dharma Kelleher. So a little about Dharma. She writes gritty tales about outlaws, renegades, and misfits. Her debut thriller, Iron Goddess, was published by Alibi in June of 2016. Her latest is Snitch. It's a follow-up to Iron Goddess. Hasn't even been out a month at this point. And her work has also appeared in Shotgun Honey. She's a member of both Sisters in Crime and the International Thriller Writers, and has also served as a panelist for Left Coast Crime. And her first job as a teenager was working in a library because of her love for books. And over the years, she's worked as news director, a goldsmith, a caregiver, a web developer, and a freelance editor. And her hobbies include riding motorcycles, picking locks, and getting inked. And Dharma is a return guest, and she was on with me a few months back. And since then, she's released both Iron Goddess and more recently the follow-up novel Snitch. So we've got a lot to catch up on. Dharma, good evening, and welcome to Noir on the Radio. It's great to have you back on.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg.
Well, I just glossed over your bio. I know there's a lot more there, but our listeners, I'm sure, would rather hear it from you. So why don't you take a minute, tell us, a little bit about yourself, your experience, for anybody that may be unfamiliar with who you are and what you do.
Well, I first started writing when I was a teenager. In fact, shortly before I got that job at the Lilburn Public Library in Lilburn, Georgia, I was spending a lot of my time there already because I was searching for through the writers' markets, looking for places to submit my work, and I was just a little fledgling writer writing really poorly written short stories. And so when I got to college, I went into journalism and did that for a while. I was a news director at a radio station for a while. And then I kind of, life kind of pulled me in other directions. And so I kind of put my writing on the back burner for the better part of basically 30 years or so. And I got back into it about 10 years ago when someone invited me to participate in the NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month Challenge. And so I did that. I won the first year. I think it was like 2008, 2007, sometime around there. And then I did it again the following year. And then I said, well, I've got to do something with these. And so I started editing them and polishing them up, submitted them to a freelance editor who is a friend of mine. And she taught me that I really need to learn a lot about story structure because my stories were all over the place. And so that's when I really got serious about learning about character development, story structure, scene structure, description, writing concisely. And because all of these things are things that didn't apply to journalism. I could write an article and in the inverted pyramid format and that type of style, but I really didn't understand about writing fiction. So finally, I got serious about it, and I participated in a number of writing groups locally. I started attending some conferences, and at one point, I was making a lot of progress polishing up a third book that I was working on, and this is what became eventually Iron Goddess in the Shea Stevens series. And there's a conference coming up locally that had a couple of agents that would be taking pitches. So I hurriedly polished my manuscript as best as I can and pitched to both of those agents. They both invited me to submit partials, and I did that. They both eventually declined, but that really kind of pushed me to take the next step of getting my work traditionally published.
Well, that's a cool story. I can look back and remember, too, when I first learned that building a story is an entirely different thing than writing a story.
Right.
And that's when it kind of began to click for me, and I was able to start things and actually finish things. So, yeah, that's a good story. You're a biker.
I am a biker.
Yeah, go ahead. But you were going to say.
I was going to say, yeah. Finishing a story is always a challenge. You know, it's easy to get started on a story. You come up with a new idea, and you're like, hey, yeah, let's do this, and I'll have the character do that. And then you kind of get bogged down in the weeds after a while. It's like, oh, okay, that's boring. What new other idea can I explore? And it was those deadlines that really pushed me to get serious and finish something. So yeah. So moving on to the topic of being a biker, yeah. A few years back, my wife bought a motorcycle, and I'd never been on a motorcycle. And here I am. I'm 50 years old now, and this was just a few years old. I was in my mid-40s, and she got a motorcycle, and she'd ridden before we'd gotten together. But I'm like, why would you get a motorcycle? That's crazy. Do you know how people drive in this place? And I rode on the back a few times going up. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and we went up into some of the mountain areas that are north of here. And at first I was absolutely terrified. But after a while I kind of got a feel for it, and I got the bug. And eventually I decided that I needed to get my own bike. And so I took a class and got my own license, and eventually got a bike of my own. Now, motorcycle is my main form of transportation. I'd rather be on my bike than in a car any day.
Very nice. So what is it about riding or that, you know, community or lifestyle that most appeals to you?
I think it's just the sense of freedom. It's really hard to put into words, but just the thrill of just being out on the road with nothing between you and the street, which is at first terrifying, but then after a while it's thrilling. It's like flying and leaning into the curves and pushing boundaries. There's a little bit of that adrenaline rush that's easily addicting, but when I eventually started writing the Shea Stevens series, I said, you know, I want to create a character that's involved in this world, because when it comes to bikers, they think of the guys, you know, they think of Sons of Anarchy, they think of the Hells Angels. And when it comes to the women, women often are relegated as the old ladies, the girlfriends and the wives that ride on the back seat. And I didn't want to write that, because I was involved in a women's motorcycle group locally, and we were all just as serious about being on a motorcycle as anyone else. And we were tough, and we were as into it as any guy could be. And so I kind of brainstormed some ideas, and that's when I came up with the idea of Shea. as she's a custom motorcycle builder. She builds bikes specifically for women because a lot of bikes are a little tall for women. I ride a BMW, and I'm having to tiptoe it a lot of the time because our legs aren't as long as guys' legs. So, and so she makes custom bikes, and so I just kind of reimagined how could I write a story about a female biker that different? And so that's where I started exploring ideas.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, if I ever ride, I'm definitely getting on the back myself. But, so you're kind of touching on Shay there. Your novels, both Iron Goddess and Snitch, feature mm-hmm. Shay Stevens as the protagonist. Tell us a little bit about that character. You know, who is Shay and what makes her interesting to you?
Well, there's a lot of things that I really love about her. Her backstory is that she grew up in an outlaw biker family. Her father was the president of the local outlaw biker club called the Confederate Thunder. And then when she was 15, her father murdered her mother. And Shay realized that this club, what a horrible organization this club really was. And, you know, growing up, she'd been enamored with this whole lifestyle. She was almost like a princess. She was like biker royalty. And then this happened, and she was really disillusioned. So she ran away from her family and didn't want anything to do with them for the better part of 20 years. And so when she first broke away, she got into stealing cars, and then she eventually got busted. And all this is like pre-story. And she served time in prison. So when she finally got out of prison, that's when she got back into motorcycles. She got a job at a repair shop and eventually became one of the co-owners of the shop. And so that's where Iron Goddess begins, where she shows up and finds out that her shop has been robbed. One of her employees has been shot. And she doesn't, having grown up in the outlaw biker culture, she doesn't trust the police to find out who did it. And so she decides to take matters into her own hands, for right or wrong. And that's when the story really gets involved, and she eventually reconnects with her estranged sister and finds herself collaborating with this the outlaw bikers in order to rescue a niece that's been kidnapped.
Yeah, that's a really rich place to...
Yeah, the thing that I like about her is that she doesn't take any guff from anybody. She's a little bit like Elizabeth Philander from Stieg Larsson's Millennium Trilogy. You know, she doesn't need anybody's approval to do what she wants to do. And at the same time, as tough as she likes to pretend that she is, she also has a tender heart, especially for vulnerable people. So
I think you intended Shay to be a serious character, maybe from the get-go. What kinds of things did you take into consideration when creating her character, you know, to make sure you had someone you and the readers would want to spend potentially a lot of time with in the future?
Oh, you know, I didn't really think about it so in depth in terms of how can I keep the readers enthralled for, you know, book after book after book. And I really focused on creating a character that I wanted to read. You know, I mentioned Elizabeth Philander. She's one of my favorite characters. I like someone that she has her own value system, and it's not the same as, say, most people's value system, but it's a code that she follows, and she always doesn't always do the smartest thing in the world, and she doesn't always do the right thing, but she follows her gut, and she's passionate about protecting the people in her life, and you know, this is the way I created the character. and just hope that other people would like her as much as I did.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think, you know, I loved Elizabeth Salander, and I think that, you know, she really lit a fire under me, and I think, you know, she's inspired, that character's inspired a lot of us as we think about inspiration for, you know, creation of series characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, both of your Shea Stevens novels feature, you know, a number of LGBT characters. And, you know,
yep.
that's, I don't think that's entirely unusual, but I do think of you as kind of a, you know, a pioneer in this area in the sense that you're doing something that feels fresh, original, maybe breaking new ground. Would you agree? And if so, what are your intentions in, you know, featuring the community in the way that you do in your fiction?
One of the reasons that I got back into writing was because, you know, as a I'm transgender. I transitioned 25 years ago, and I'm also a lesbian. And you know, in terms of finding books that reflected people such as myself that are in my community, most of what I was finding was coming out stories and romances and erotica and occasionally some murder mystery novels. And being lesbian, being trans is about more than coming out, falling in love, having sex, and stumbling over dead bodies. And so I wanted to read stories that were beyond the usual fare, beyond the coming out stories, beyond the romance, beyond the erotica. And I wanted stories that didn't center around the character's identity as a gay person or a trans person. And one of the few books out there that I found that fit that story was Melinda Lowe's book, Ash, which is a wonderful retelling of the Cinderella story. And the main character turns out to be lesbian, but the story isn't about her being lesbian. The story is about her being this character and trying to find a way to survive in this mystical world. And so I wanted more stories like that. I wanted thrillers, because there are lots of thrillers, but I wanted a thriller protagonist that was like me, and I wasn't finding it. So I decided that I wanted to write that. And in writing it, I wanted to be authentic to my experience as a person, as a queer person. So the main character, Shea Stevens, she's a lesbian. And like a lot of gay people, she's got a lot of friends that are in the queer community. And sometimes she'll go to a gay bar. And, you know, so there's a lot of gay and trans and bisexual characters in the stories. And some people have said, well, you're so in your face about the gay thing. This is just what I'm just trying to be true to my experience as a gay person and as a trans person. When I was a member of the women's motorcycle group that I was a part of, half the women in there were queer. I don't know why. It just maybe lesbians are just more attracted to motorcycles than straight women. I don't know. But that was true to my experience. And so this is the world I try to create. I don't make romance a big part of the story, although her relationship is very – she does have a relationship in these two books, but it's very unstable and rocky, and she's not a very good girlfriend at all. And at the same time, I also tend to avoid writing sex scenes because I don't like writing sex scenes. I don't like reading sex scenes, not because they're like, not because I'm a prude, but because most of the time when I read them, they tend to be kind of boring. So I usually skip over those when I'm reading a book. And so when I tend to fade to black most of the time, unless there's one scene in Snitch where it serves to advance the story and create conflict. And so I included it there, but it's not like erotica. It's not like locker room terms for body parts and stuff like that. So, you know, I just wanted to tell stories that are like regular thrillers, but with people like me.
Well, I think you're doing great work. You know, I like any type of fiction in this space that you know, breaks new ground, places. You know, I think back. You know, Tom Pitts had that book out, Hustle, and it just, you know, transported me to, you know, just a new and different place. And there's so many titles like that. So I think you're doing great work, and I applaud what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk about your latest release, hot off the digital press, Snitch. And this one was also published by Alibi, imprint of Random House. What would you like the listeners to know tonight about that one?
Well, the premise of the story, because of some of the things that happened in Iron Goddess, she was forced to sign a confidential agreement, confidential informant agreement with the local sheriff's office in order to keep from being charged with certain crimes that may or may not have been committed in the first book. And so the detective with whom she has this agreement comes calling and says, hey, there are people dying from these drugs laced with strychnine. Well, I've got evidence to suggest that this new women's motorcycle club that's in town, they're the ones distributing this drug. And Shay's just trying to live her life and take care of her family and run her business, and she doesn't want anything to do with this. Complicating matters is the fact that this motorcycle club is run by her ex-girlfriend, who she doesn't like at all. Her ex-girlfriend is very manipulative, very, very passive-aggressive and controlling, and so Shay didn't want anything to do with it. But she's being forced to either join this group or go back to prison. And adding more fuel to the fire is the fact that this women's motorcycle club is they're in conflict with her old family's outlaw biker club, because the biker club and the motorcycle club community is very territorial. So starting up a new motorcycle club, whether male or female, in somebody else's territory is considered dangerous, because they see it as intruding on their territory. And you sometimes read about stories with the Mongols or the Hells Angels or some other major club getting into fights, and their death is a really dangerous thing to do. So I wanted to incorporate that kind of conflict into my story, and so that's where the story goes. And in the process, Shay finds some friendships and finds the, you know, one of the things that she liked about growing up in the with the Confederate Thunder is that sense of extended family. And she missed that, having not been a part of it since she was a teenager. And so when she finally connects with this club, she starts to connect with that same sense of family. And so that creates a sense of internal conflict. So there's a lot of, just as with the first book, there's a lot of chases and gunfights and all kinds of craziness going on. It's a lot of fun.
Stuff, yes, indeed. So why, you mentioned the chases, the gunfights. Why did you choose, you know, this this is noir on the radio. why did
right.
you choose that violent and gritty crime thriller genre?
One of the things that appeals to me are people who, for whatever reason, find themselves in the circumstances where there are no good options. Maybe they are born into a violent community or a violent neighborhood or something like that, and there's just no good options. There's no way out of there, and that's kind of what I found that intriguing. And so, and I, you know, when I started doing riding motorcycles, I fell in love with Sons of Anarchy. I really like the world that Kurt Sutter created. I'm looking forward to the spinoff series that he's creating, The Mayans. And it's just a wonderful, rich world and environment that most people aren't familiar with. And I just found it very fascinating.
That's a great answer. Yeah, people with no good options. I love that. That's the
Mm-hmm.
the perfect setting to put somebody in a in a work of noir. You mentioned Sons of Anarchy. Let's say there's a movie being made based on Iron Goddess or Snitch.
Uh-huh.
Who would you want cast for the role of Shay?
Oh, I've tossed around a number of different ideas. I've thought that Katie Sackhoff, who played Starbuck in the Battlestar Galactica series, in that character. Because and she's also in Longmire, and not only is she good at playing really tough female characters, but she also rides a motorcycle. She and Tricia Helfer, at one point, I don't know if it was before Battlestar Galactica ended or afterwards, but the two of them learned how to, they got these BMW motorcycles, and they rode from Los Angeles to New Orleans to raise money to, I think, to help people affected by the oil spill or one of the hurricanes down there. And so they did videos of their journey and everything like that. And she's every bit as badass as the characters that she portrays, but also with a great sense of humor and everything. So I would love for her to play Shay Stevens.
Well, I could totally see that. That would be a great cast. So, which writers would you name as major inspirations for you?
I think one of my earliest inspirations was Lawrence Block. I love his Matt Scudder series. I love the grittiness of it. You know, the down and out alcoholic ex cop detective kind of guy. I also loved the lighter Bernie Rodenbaugh series. Bernie is a professional cat burglar who has a habit of stumbling upon dead bodies when he's burgling houses. And so I love his skill at creating stories. I also am a big fan of Jim Butcher, who does the Dresden series. And he has a gift of description. He can describe a character in about 3 words, and you know everything there is to know about this character. You know how they approach life, you know, and he's only describing the way they hold their eyes or their stature or something. And he just has such skill at creating vivid images and in such concise language. So I fell in love with him. And of course, Stieg Larsson, I fell in love with his stories and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and The Girl that Kicked the Hornet's Nest and the other books in the series. And I just, those were some of my big influences. And some of the more recent ones, since being at Left Coast Crime, I met Krista Faust and fell in love with her work as well.
Krista is going to be on the show in a couple weeks.
She's amazing. I mean, she's a force of nature. She's absolutely amazing, and I want to be her someday. I mean, she's funny, she's brilliant, sharp-witted, her stories are just like they take you places that you never imagined going. And yet they're so entertaining and so believable, and you just want to read more. And so she's one of my more recent influences.
Yeah, Krista is coming on with Gary Phillips to talk about the new comic
Peepling
series they have out from Hard Case Crime. Yeah, great series.
I read the first one and I just absolutely loved it. So I'm looking forward to more of that.
Yeah, and I haven't approached Lawrence Block yet about coming on the show, but he's definitely on my list.
Yeah,
been quite an inspiration for me too as a writer. So what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about being a writer?
I think the most important thing is really taking the craft seriously and understanding that it's going to be a lifelong learning process. And it's okay to write shitty stuff. I hope I can say that on the air.
You can say shitty on the air.
Woohoo! And Anne Lamott in her book, Bird by Bird, had an entire chapter called Shitty First Draft. And I've heard a number of other writers say things like all first drafts are shit. And it's okay to, I had to write two complete novels and a ton of short stories and a whole bunch of other stuff before I really got a handle on what I was doing. And that's the way we learn. And just take time to learn about story structure, about writing concisely, about developing characters and what makes them three-dimensional. Take it seriously. There are, one of the things that, I like that people have the freedom to self-publish, but sadly, a lot of people publish too quickly and they don't invest in hiring professionals to critique their work, to help them hone their craft. And so the market has been flooded with a lot of under-edited work. And that hurts not only traditionally published authors, but it hurts the self-published author community as well. And so I encourage people to take their craft seriously. It's more than just a hobby. And it, that you can not only make a little bit of money on it, but you can really get a sense of fulfillment in learning all the different aspects of this craft.
Indeed, yeah, that's good advice. And, talking about shitty first drafts, for me, you kind of struck a chord because I think that, the story starts as an idea and you put some structure
mm-hmm.
around it. But then when you take it from an idea to an actual thing, you have to get the idea out, you have to get it written. But once it's
right.
written, you've got something you can work with. You've got something you
right.
can do something with. And you have to get it to that point before you can really, start cutting and polishing and all that good stuff. It's making it something more than an idea.
It really is. I look at it, if someone is a sculptor working in clay, the first part of the job is building up the clay into something that you can shape later. And so writing that first draft is building up the clay. And the shaping and the fine sculpting, all that comes later. But you got to have something. You can't edit something that's not written. You can't polish it. It's so easy. And, here I am in my third book, fifth, if you include the two NaNoWriMo novels. But, I still struggle with turning off my inner editor when I'm writing a rough draft. That's the most concise way. Oh, that's passive voice. Oh, that's telling, not showing, and blah, blah, blah. And I have to get myself out of my editor brain and into just
mm-hmm.
tell a story. And I can, cut it later if I need to. I can work with it, but I need to get it out of there. And it's turn off that editor brain, because especially if you've been reading something that's been really, really beautifully polished and you can appreciate why it reads so well, then you start looking at that blank page and you start writing something and you just second guess yourself. And one of the things that I learned with Snitch is writing the second book is every bit as hard, if not harder, than writing the first book. And I'm currently working on a new series now, and I'm fleshing out the characters. And I started out writing this one story, and then I've completely scrapped what I've written. I wrote about like 20,000 words, and I'm like, nope. I mean, I'm not deleting all these files, I'm saving because you never know what's going to be useful later. I kind of put it in my scrap file to be used later. But I'm like, nope, that's not where I want to take this story. So I'm like, okay, what's this character, what is she trying to do? And who's the antagonist? And what are they trying to do? And what's their backstory? And what's going on with them? And I think once you get a feel for who the stories are, or who the characters are, then after a while, the story starts to tell itself. But you really got to start with shutting off that editor brain and just entertaining possibilities. With Shea Stevens, I came up with, okay, so she builds custom bikes for women. Well, how did she get into building motorcycles? Well, maybe she grew up with someone that was involved with motorcycles. What if she was involved with someone that was in the outlaw biker community? Well, how did she break away from that? So it's just asking yourself questions. Well, how did this happen? Or why did this happen? Or what if? And, you know, when we were kids, we used to play, let's pretend. Well, let's pretend that I'm a horse that can fly or whatever. And we just got to allow silliness. And...
Yeah.
Allow for stupid ideas, because you got to get through all the stupid ideas before you come up with the brilliant ideas. All the brilliant ideas are at the bottom of the cup, so you have to pour off all the stupid ideas first, and then once they're all gone, then you're like, oh, wait a minute, what if this character is related to that character, or double cross them over there, and then you start coming up with these really intriguing ideas and these plots and counterplots and subplots and all these different interactions. You're like, oh, wow, this is a great story finally. But you got to write that rough draft first.
Indeed, yeah. Now, that's where you find it. Great advice.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned, the hardest, the books get harder. I think both the hardest and the easiest book I wrote was the fourth novel. The hardest because I scrapped everything and started – from the beginning four times.
Yeah.
And then on the fifth time, I wrote it in 10 days. It was so easy.
Yeah.
So it was both the hardest and the easiest. But it's funny. It's funny how that works out.
And there's no shortcut.
So
to
you
it.
Mentioned.
We think that.
No.
I just want to say, there's a tendency to feel like I just wasted all of that time writing that stuff that I scrapped, and that's not a waste of time. That's part of the essential process. It's very organic. It is not linear. You took coming up with all those stupid ideas that didn't work in order to get to that great idea that did.
Yeah, yeah, and I think as you mature as a writer, you become a little more critical, and then you're quick
mm-hmm.
to say, no, this isn't working. I could keep going in this direction. I know what it would look like, but this is not going to work. So you toss it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned third book, fifth book. What new and exciting projects are you working on these days, and what can we look forward to?
Well, I am thinking about doing a new series, and so I was brainstorming with my wife, who is absolutely wonderful. She's one of the most supportive people I know, and so she doesn't think of herself as a creative person, but, you know, I can brainstorm with her and toss around ideas with her, and she comes up with great ideas. And so together we came up with the idea of a bounty hunter, and I've been wanting to write a series where the protagonist is transgender, like myself, and so I'm working on a story. The character's name tentatively is Jinx Ballou, and so she's a transgender bounty hunter, and is nothing like Stephanie Plum. I love Jenna Ivanovich. I love her Stephanie Plum series. This character is nothing like that, and so this is more along the lines of the Shea Stevens. It's still kind of the gritty, tough. She's not as foul-mouthed as Shea Stevens is, and she tries to stay more in the line of the law, but I really like this character as I'm getting to know her and discover her backstory and her motivations, and So I'm just playing around with ideas, trying to figure out, well, who's the antagonist? Who is she trying to catch? And I've been really enjoyed doing all the research because most people really don't know a lot about bounty hunters because you won't get a true sense of what bounty hunters do from, like, Dog the Bounty Hunter or even reading the Stephanie Plum series. And so I've talked to bounty hunters and I've interviewed them, and I've done a lot of research online, and it's just such a fascinating subject. And so I'm really having a lot of fun with this new series.
Well, definitely something to look forward to for sure. Where's the best place, you know, for people to find you out there on the web, keep up with you?
Probably at my website is dharmakelleher.com. It's dharmakelleher.com. And that's my website. And I'm giving away a prequel short story ebook that's in the Shea Stevens series for anyone that signs up for my mailing list. And I like to think of it as taking a test drive. So taking an exciting short story test drive in the Shea Stevens world. And that gives you a feel for the style of writing that I do and who the characters are. And so I'm also on Facebook and Twitter occasionally, occasionally on Instagram, but mostly on Facebook in terms of social media.
Well, very cool. So Dharmit, thanks for coming on the show and talking to us about your work. I could literally keep talking and go on all night. It's been really great having you on.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
Well, and we hope to get you back on when the next thing comes out. And for the audience, check out Dharma Kelleher's Snitch and Iron Goddess. Sign up for the newsletter. Get the free story. And keep your eye out for the new books to come. You can find them all easily on Amazon. Join me again next week. My guest will be crime author Rob Pierce. He's the author of Uncle Dust, Vernon the Heat, The Things I Love Will Kill Me Yet, and soon to be released, like in the next few days, With the Right Enemies. He also co-edited a series of books by some guy named Greg Barth. So you'll want to be here for that. And until next time, this is Greg Barth with Noir on the Radio. Noir on the Radio is a copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC.